According to Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, the follower of Jesus always has a reason to worship.
Listen, I don't care how discouraged you are, how overwhelmed you are, what the circumstances are that you may be facing in your life, you can sing to the Lord.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, author of Lies Women Believe. For September 5th, 2025, I'm Dana Gresh.
Many, many women I'm talking with in the church today are greatly discouraged. And I battle it a lot myself. Even in the ministry, doing the things God has called me to, I find myself a lot of times giving way to discouragement. And the scripture provides us a wealth of resource and understanding about how to deal with discouraging times in our lives. We've been looking at 1 Samuel chapter 30 and an incident from the life of David. If you've not been with us, let me just review what has happened. David has been running for his life from King Saul for 15 years. He's been told by God that he would be the next king, but there's no evidence that God is going to fulfill his promise. It looks to the contrary, as if David's going to lose his life before he gets to the throne. And David and his 600 men who have gathered around him, who have become his army, his troops, they have gone out to fight and then come back to their hometown in Philistine territory, the town of Ziklag, and found that another enemy, the Amalekites, have come and burned their city, burned all their possessions, taken their wives, taken their children, and they come back to this town with the smoke still rising up out of the ground, and their family's gone, and they're obviously greatly distressed. So we read in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 4, "Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep." They're devastated. This is an enormous loss. And David's two wives, it's a personal loss. His wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had also been taken captive. And then verse 6, "Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was bitter, every man for his sons and his daughters. But," this is what we looked at yesterday, "David strengthened," or encouraged himself, "in the Lord his God." David turned to the Lord when there was nowhere else to turn. There was no one else who could help. When everyone had turned against him, David turned to the Lord, and there he found a source of inner strength and encouragement. He needed it physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. He strengthened himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Now we come to verse 7 today. I want you to see something else that David did when he was discouraged. First, he strengthened or encouraged himself in the Lord. And then verse 7, he tells us he got direction from God. Here he is in this hopeless, helpless situation, no idea what to do. There is no human understanding that can tell you. There's no textbook that's been written. He'd never been in this situation before. He didn't know what to do, so he turned to God to give him direction. So we see in verse 7, "Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, 'Please bring the ephod here to me.' And Abiathar brought the ephod to David." So verse 8, "David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?'" Now, when David needed direction, what did he do? First of all, having strengthened himself in the Lord already, having encouraged his heart in the Lord, now he seeks out another believer to help him discern the will of God. Abiathar the priest is there with him. He knows that this is a man of God. He's a man who has been appointed by God as a priest to help people get to God, as was the way God worked in the Old Testament before we had Christ, our high priest. And David seeks out this believer. He doesn't try and make it alone. Now, the believer isn't for him a substitute for God. He turns first to the Lord. That's where he gets his strength and encouragement, because God is the source of all true encouragement. But then God uses another believer to help him get direction and determine what he should do. Could I say to you that once you have sought encouragement in the Lord, and as you are letting the Lord encourage your heart, then don't try to be a Lone Ranger Christian. Don't try to make it alone. Find a mature believer. When you find yourself in these circumstances where you have no idea what to do, find a mature believer who can help direct you to the Word. I did this past week. I'm actually embroiled in a situation that is very complex and involves a number of people, and I've been asked to provide some input and actually have some connection to the situation myself. And it's a bizarre, complex situation, and I found myself just clueless as to what to do and how to function in this situation and how to give helpful counsel to others. So I've been praying, I've been seeking the Lord, I've been letting the Lord encourage my heart in this situation. But this past week, I sought out godly counsel from two men of God who know how to take the word and apply it to real life situations. And I went with a humble heart and a teachable heart saying, can you give me some insight from the word of God as to what is the appropriate way to respond in this circumstance, in this situation? Don't try and make it alone. David sought another believer to help him discern the will of God. And then David used the means that God had provided to know his will. In the Old Testament, God provided a number of different means. They didn't have the written scripture, and so God provided priests and prophets. And we read in verse 7 that David says to Abiathar the priest, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. Now, without going into a lot of detail, an ephod was one of the priestly garments, the clothes worn, the outer clothing tunic worn by the high priest. And on that ephod was a pouch that had in it two stones that were known as the Urim and the Thummim. Now that's meaningless if you haven't studied the Old Testament, but these were means, and the scripture doesn't even really tell us how God did it, but means that God had given to people that the priest would use to help people know God's will. That was the means God had provided. So David says, bring to me the means, the vehicle through which I can know the will of God. Now, we don't have an ephod or an Urim or a Thummim today to know the will of God. What do we have? We have the Word of God. And aren't you glad? Oh, my goodness, I've seen this week just in a number of situations, but one particular comes to mind where I really needed direction about a minister-related decision. And I didn't know how to think this through. And I got into the Word and found the Word of God being a light and a lamp to my feet and my path. It just became so clear. The principles, the truths of God's Word, they're pure, they're right, they lead us. And God used His Word in a very specific and direct way this week to shine light on my path. And as we're living in the Word of God, as we're saturated with the Word of God, we will be able to apply the Word of God to real life circumstances and situations. And of course, that's the role of the Holy Spirit living within us, to shine light on the Word and to illuminate it to us and to direct our steps. And He does it through the Word of God. God gives us His Word to encourage us, to give us hope, and to help us to endure when we think we cannot go on. You read this in Romans chapter 15, where the Apostle Paul says, for everything that was written in the past, it's all the Old Testament scriptures, it was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Then he goes on to say, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does God use to encourage us, to direct us in these discouraging times? It's the Word of God, the encouragement we find through the Word. I was working on this series a couple of nights ago and thought about a pastor and his wife who live in Memphis, Tennessee area, who are just great encouragers. And they've been real encouragers in my life over a period of many years. And I know that this particular wife has had for years now a major neuromuscular disease that has caused a deterioration of her neck muscles. And she has been in constant, horrible pain and deteriorating physical condition for years. Now she and her husband, 60-ish, and they've been such encouragers to me. So I picked up the phone and called them because I was thinking about encouragement. And I said, Brother Bobby and Joyce, they both got on the phone. How are you doing? You've encouraged me so many times over the years that when I've been discouraged. And I know you must have had some discouraging times as you're walking through this physical situation. And you know, their hearts were so full of praise and thanks. I said, Joyce, how do you encourage yourself? She said, I get in the Word. I get in the Word. That's where God provides encouragement. And then we see that David prayed. He inquired of the Lord. He asked God what he should do. He sought out another believer. He used the means God had provided. And then he said, God, what should I do? He prayed. He didn't assume that the first plan that came into his mind was God's plan. We make our plans. We say, I'm going to fight this. I know what I'm going to do. I've got this cancer, or I've got this situation with my child, or I've got this situation at my job, and we kick into high gear, and we just put our plans into motion. Well, David was a smart man. He could have thought of plans of his own, but he wanted God's plan. And isn't that what you want, really? Not to depend on your own understanding, but to acknowledge him and let him direct your steps. So David inquired of the Lord, verse 8, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? Now, when we go back a couple of chapters, we find that David had failed to inquire of the Lord before he went to battle with the Philistines. And that's how he ended up in this situation. I think David didn't want to make the same mistake again. He knew that when he had not inquired of the Lord previously, he'd ended up in a big mess. So now he says, I'm going to inquire of the Lord this time. I'm going to ask God what I should do. Aren't you glad that it's not too late to repent? And you may have failed to seek the Lord in the past. You may have leaned on your own understanding in the past. But now you can seek the Lord. You can come back to him in humility and say, God, I've done it my own way. Now I want to do it your way. Now, doing it God's way does not mean that God will make all your problems go away. It doesn't mean he'll just wave this magic wand in the air and all your problems will be gone. But it does mean that God will walk with you through that valley, through those circumstances. My pastor friend in the Memphis, Tennessee area, Bobby Moore, has said this. He said, fight all your battles on your knees. Fight all your battles on your knees. David inquired of the Lord. And we're going to see that God came to David's rescue and showed him exactly what he should do.
Nancy DeMoss-Wagamuth will be right back with part two of today's teaching. Before that, I want to remind you that we've created a resource for times of discouragement. It's called Endure, 40 Days of Fortitude. This booklet walks you through a 40-day challenge, inspiring you to defy discouragement by running to the Lord. You can find it at reviveourhearts.com. And because this month's theme is all about fortitude, standing firm in God's grace, we're offering this booklet to everyone who makes a donation of any amount in September. To give, visit reviveourhearts.com or give us a call at 1-800-569-5959. When you do, be sure to ask for Endure, 40 Days of Fortitude. Let's get back to Nancy DeMoss-Wagamuth's teaching from 1 Samuel chapter 30.
David believed God's promise and obeyed God's direction. He believed God's promise and he obeyed God's direction. He stepped out in faith based on the promises of God, and he obeyed God based on the direction that God had given. The promises of God and the direction. Step out in faith on the promises and obey the direction that God has given. And so God says to David in verse 8, God answered him. And aren't you glad that God does answer? When you ask, you say, well, God's never spoken to me like this. Listen, David didn't have this book. We do. And so as we pray, as we inquire of the Lord, the Holy Spirit takes this book, if we're reading it, if we're internalizing it, and he makes application. The Lord showed me an answer to a question I had about a potential staff member this past week. And the Bible doesn't have that potential staff member's name in the Bible anywhere, but it was in the Word that God showed me what to do about whether or not to hire this person for the ministry of Revive Our Hearts. The Lord used the Word. The Spirit applied the Word in a very clear way to my heart. And he does that if we'll let him. So verse 8 says, God answered him. And God said, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Now in God's answer, there's a direction to be obeyed and there's a promise to be believed. What is the direction? Pursue them. What is the promise? you will overtake them, and you will recover everything. It's not a very long answer, but it's all the answer David needed. God had given his word. There's clear direction, and David believed God and did what God told him to do. Even though at this moment David was exhausted, he was discouraged, he was defeated, and yet he stepped out in faith to obey God, trusted that God would give him the strength to fight this battle. Now we're going to see that the battle against the Amalekites who had taken the wives and the children, it was a 24-hour battle from one evening until twilight of the next day. For 24 hours. David was in no physical condition, neither were his men, to fight this kind of battle. And sometimes God gives us direction, and our instinct is to say, but God, I am so worn out. I can't do this. I can't do what you're telling me to do. And God says, you step out, you obey, and I'll give you the strength to obey. I will, as Paul says, God quickens our mortal bodies by his Holy Spirit who lives within us. And I can't tell you how many times in the course of obeying God I have felt, I just can't do this. It's too hard. I'm too tired. It hasn't worked before, so we say. And yet you step out and you find that, as Oswald Chambers says, when you obey God, you link arms with the omnipotence of God. You find all of God's resources, all of his strength, right at your disposal as you seek to obey him. So when you don't know what to do, you seek the Lord, ask him what to do, and then, having been in this word, you do what you know to do. God says pursue. So what does David do? David pursues. He doesn't know how the battle's going to go. He doesn't know what the battle's going to be like. He doesn't know what he's going to find. He just does what he knows to do. You know, if you and I stop and think about it, there's a lot we already know to do. And I think one of the problems is in our times of distress and discouragement that we don't step out and do what we already know to do. We're looking for some grand new revelation, and God's saying, I've already told you what to do. You know my word. I took time last night just to write down some commands from the scripture that most of us are familiar with. Let me just read those. And when you don't know what else to do, here are some things you can do for sure. Now, some of these may not apply to your specific situation, but these are things we know to do. First of all, God's word says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. That's a command. We know what to do. We can do that. God says, give to those who have need. That's a command. We can obey. We can give to those who have need. God says, abstain from sexual immorality. Flee immorality. That's a command of God's word. We can obey. God's word says, show hospitality. Welcome people into your home. I found myself recently being challenged to provide hospitality at a time that wasn't good on my schedule. It wasn't expected. It wasn't, and I was feeling some sense of being overwhelmed and being discouraged, and God brought this scripture to my mind. Now, hospitality didn't have anything to do with what I was facing directly at that moment, but I thought, that's one thing I do know to do. God's word says show hospitality without grudging. So I opened my home. I didn't have time to make the preparations. It wasn't a good week for me, but God brought the situation into my life, and I said, this is life. This is obeying God. It's opening my home right now when I feel like I've got so many things to do. It's not a good time. I will obey God. I will show hospitality. God's word says, put away lying. Speak the truth in love. Some of you are dealing with relational issues, and you don't know what to do, and you're discouraged over it. One thing you do know is that you're not to lie, you're not to deceive, you're not to be manipulative in that relationship, that you're to speak the truth in love. God has been bringing that command to my heart this past week as I've been dealing with a situation that is a tough relational one, and I haven't known how to handle it. One of the things God is telling me from his word, speak the truth and do it in love. That's a direction God's given me. God's word says, be kind. You can know in your situation, whatever the trauma, whatever the crisis, you are to be kind. Obey God. God's word says, don't speak evil of one another. So your marriage is in a crisis, and your husband's an alcoholic or addicted to pornography and not paying the bills, and your family's falling apart around you. One thing you know is true is that you're not to speak evil of your husband. That's a command you can obey. You may not know what else to do, but you can obey that command. Here's a tough one. God's word says, in everything, give thanks. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Rejoice in the Lord. Go to the book of Philippians. Rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. I don't know what your circumstance is, but I know one of God's commands to you in the midst of that circumstance is rejoice. Give thanks. God's word says if someone has something against you, go to him and try to be reconciled. That's a command. You can obey that. God's word says don't return evil for evil, but rather give a blessing. I think of Martin Burnham, who was martyred in the Philippines. And the story is that as his widow Gracia emerged from the jungle there after they'd been captives for over a year, and she told how at night as he would be chained to a tree there, held by those terrorists, how he would say to his captors, thank you. I know you don't want to do this. Good night. He would be kind to them. He would return good for evil. He was obeying the word of God, and you can too. God's word says, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. You can obey God in your circumstance. God's word says, reverence your husband. Doesn't say what kind of husband he is. Doesn't say he's worthy of reverence. It says reverence him. You can obey God by the power of his Holy Spirit. God says, forgive. Forbear with one another. Don't become bitter. God's word says, and this is a practical one, sing to the Lord. That's a command that's repeated many times in the scripture. Sing to the Lord. Listen, I don't care how discouraged you are, how overwhelmed you are, what the circumstances are that you may be facing in your life, you can sing to the Lord. And I find myself often pulling out a hymnal and singing some of those old songs like, no one understands like Jesus. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I'll sing songs, choruses of praise, of worship, of prayer. Singing to the Lord, that's a command. You can do it. The danger is that when we're wallowing in discouragement, when we're in depressing or discouraging circumstances, our tendency is to wallow in discouragement rather than getting up and doing what we know we're supposed to do. David inquired of the Lord. God said, pursue them, go after them. And David pursued. He did what he knew to do. And let me say that in the act, in the process of obeying the word of God that you know, you will find yourself strengthened and encouraged.
That's Nancy DeMoss-Walgemuth in a series called Defying Discouragement. She'll be right back to pray. Now, if you missed any of the episodes in this series so far, you can catch up at reviveourhearts.com or on the Revive Our Hearts app. You might even consider forwarding a link to someone else who needs encouragement. Also, here's your reminder that this Sunday is Grandparents' Day. If you're a grandmother, I would love to point you to a special resource we created just for you. It's called the Grandparenting on Purpose Challenge. When you sign up, you'll receive 10 days of emails containing wisdom from real-world grandparents like me, each of whom have found ways to be intentional and biblical as they invest in the next generation. I hope you'll consider signing up as a way to celebrate your day this weekend. When you're facing discouraging circumstances, it can be tempting to believe it's all pointless, but we know from Scripture that everything God does is filled with purpose. Join us tomorrow as Nancy talks about God's sanctifying hand in our hard circumstances. I think you're going to be encouraged. Here's Nancy to pray.
Father, you have given to us your law to guide us, to instruct us. And I think of how David said, oh, how I love your law. And Lord, we do love your laws. We love your word. We love the direction you've given to us. And help us to know your word and then in every circumstance and situation of life to step out in obedience and do what we know you have told us to do. We may not know all the details of how we're supposed to handle it, but as we obey what you have shown us, then you will show us the next step. You will give us more light. Make us obedient, even in the times when we would be discouraged, that you may have the pathway through that obedience to encourage our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.